1 John chapter 5, and we'll begin reading in verse 1. We'll read through verse 21. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 1, and these are the infallible words of God, and they're authoritative to every aspect of our life. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves Him who begot also loves Him who is begotten of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree as one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which He has testified of His Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of His Son. And this is the testimony, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. If anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask, and he will give him life for those who commit sin not leading to death. There is sin leading to death. I do not say that he should pray about that. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is sin not leading to death. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding, that we may know Him who is true, and we are in Him who is true, in His Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. And those are the words of the Lord. So we remember this letter, as you can see, is coming, isn't it, to the end now of the epistle that was written to the saints. That verse 13 shows us why John wrote this particular letter. He wrote it to the saints so that they may know that they have eternal life. And so that is so that they'd have assurance of their salvation in Christ alone. So when we talk about assurance of salvation, this is maybe one of the main places you might come to in the letter of 1 John. And this confidence then is what is encouraged, this confidence is encouraged at the beginning of the chapter, so that if you're a Christian, you know you're a Christian if you love Christ. It says, you're a Christian if you love God and keep His commandments. Verse 2, striving to keep them, and you actually see that you're able to do so in some measure, because Christ is in you. Verse 3, sometimes we think His commandments are burdensome. Of course, he says very clearly they are not. We make them burdensome through our sin and continually striving after the flesh. But keeping His commandments actually leads to good life and righteousness in Christ. Keeping His commandments does not earn our justification, though, or our salvation, but it does show that we are His. And then we see that growth in Christ and righteousness. Knowing that we're in Christ and having believed in Jesus, we should have confidence in our victory over the world, the attacks of the world, even of Satan, even of our flesh that attacks us. And confirmation then of our faith, we're given very clearly the doctrine of the Trinity in verses 6 through 8. When he begins talking about Jesus as the Son of God, and then he fleshes that out in the Trinity. And even though some translations have worked, and you might have those in your translations, they've worked to remove those parts in verse 7 and 8 wrongly. But to be very clear, as we continue in the passage, verse 12, we're taught, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. And if we have the Son, we're encouraged to pray according to the will of God, according to God's Word, knowing that He hears us, knowing that He will answer us, and He will grant our petitions when we pray according to His will. Verse 18 reveals that God keeps us from sin by His Spirit, keeps us from continuing in sin, leading to death. But He brings us and gives us righteousness in Christ, and that we are protected then from the evil one, unlike the rest of the world. And then the final exhortation has to do with knowledge and the warning to keep away from idols. Seems like a somewhat of an abrupt ending, or a little add-on statement in verse 21. Because it says, verse 20, "And we know that the Son of God has come and given us understanding, that we may know Him who is true, and we are in Him who is true, in His Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." Well, if that's true, this is what John is saying. If that's true, then little children, keep yourselves from idols. Because we have the true God, and we ought to worship Him alone. Let's pray. Our Father, we give You praise for Your Word that is clear, that those who believe in the Son of God have life in Him and Him alone, that those who love God and who love Jesus keep Your commandments, that we have this confidence that we will have eternal life if those things are true, and also if we hate sin, as we've learned previously. And so, Father, we ask, if Jesus is true, and He is, and if He is our Lord and Savior, if He is the Son of God, the true God, and Father, we plead that You would keep us from idols. You would keep us from the attacks of the world, the flesh, and the devil. And You would bring us to Your throne. And You would keep us there before Your footstool, as we've sang already this evening. Father, we ask that You would watch over us and protect us. There are many people, many groups trying to attack Your church throughout the world, many governments. I pray that You would protect Your people and give them strong faith, even of us here this evening. Strengthen us in our faith that we might serve You well, even in the face of suffering and persecution of the world and the evil one, even from our attacks of the flesh. Father, cause us to have a great faith that we could withstand these attacks, knowing that we are not tempted beyond what we are able to endure. But You've given us Your Son, and You've given us the Spirit who's in our hearts, who makes us temples of the Spirit. And so, Father, we ask that You would grow us by Your grace to turn from sin and turn unto You. This evening we pray and ask for Your blessing upon Gilmario and Becky. We also pray for, as we prayed this morning, we also pray for Phyllis and her sister, knowing that Phyllis's mom passed away this past week. And we know that she lived a long life, and yet, from what at least I remember, that She was not a believer. Or at least Phyllis had great concerns about that. And so, Father, we know you know. But in this, we ask that you would comfort Phyllis with knowing that you're on the throne, that you're sovereign. And that you would grant to her that eternal comfort. And even knowing that you love her as you love us, even from eternity. And Father, we do ask that you would watch over those youth going this week to the CY retreat. We ask that you would be with Deborah especially, coming from our congregation, that you would have it as an opportunity to meet new friends, to grow in fellowship with them and with other children from across our presbytery. We pray especially, though, that you would be with her in her soul and grow her and strengthen her in faith, as well as others who will be there, and even those who do not believe the gospel. We know there are some who go just to be with friends and from these churches. So, Father, we ask that you would call them to yourself, even this week, this special occasion, to the preaching of your servant, Pastor Hemken, that you would work through him and help him to communicate these truths to these teenagers and young adults. And Father, we do ask that you would watch over those churches that do not have pastors at this time, so provide for them pastors. Pray for the church in Casper, Wyoming, and the Columbia, Missouri church, as well as the Oklahoma City work, and the Denison congregation in Denison, Kansas. Father, provide ministers, servants, to serve your people in those places. And those church plants that are beginning and being strengthened, and we praise you that we've seen in Bryan, Texas, San Antonio, places like that, we've seen growth, and we praise you for that. We've seen growth here, and we give you praise for that. Those visitors who have said they would come again, we ask that you would bring them again, that you would grow your church, that you would build your great building, the bride, because we know you are the builder. And so, Father, bring about more disciples, but not just those who are already believers in the faith, but those who are in their sins. Bring them, that they would hear the gospel and believe unto salvation. And so bless the efforts that we have in doing door-to-door ministry in this community. We pray for those who do so, you would give them the words. And we know that you've already written the law in their hearts, and so we're thankful that you've already given them the words. And ask that you would that those words would not fall on deaf ears, that you would bring about good conversations and opportunities to tell the gospel and invite to see Jesus here in worship. Continue blessing that ministry that we have, and help all of us to continue to pray for them every Saturday as they go, and you would give success to them and for your church. Father, we're thankful for the encouragement you've brought. As we look back on this past year, you've grown our church, which we've prayed for, knowing our struggles, and you've answered our prayers. We ask that you would continue growing us with family, more families, Father. And you would bless the session meeting that we have tomorrow. And forgive me for not announcing that to the congregation, but Father, we ask that you would bless the session meeting we have tomorrow. That you would grant clarity and wisdom to the elders as we meet, as we deal with the business of your church and shepherding your church. And Father, as we come to your word this evening, we ask that you would bless it to our minds and hearts, wills and affections. That you would do your great work in us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.